All right. Anybody recognize the song? Thy Word. We've been talking about God's Word. I hope you guys are excited. I welcome back to our 40-day study and our messages, and I hope you're as excited about the study as I am. This is really, I don't know about you, but I had a great time this week, and not only doing the material, but I enjoyed watching the devotionals and seeing these various teachers and preachers share God's Word and to hear their insights and to hear what they had to say. And then some of them were a little long, about 10 minutes, but that's still a lot shorter than last week's service. And I don't blame Dan and Ron, but they took more time than I did. So I'm gonna go on that. But I'm glad you're here. We're going to have some great time. We're looking at God's Word and what God's Word does. And last week, we kind of laid a foundation about why can I trust the Bible? You know, how can I trust it? And we looked at those seven things about trusting the Bible. This morning, I want to talk about, again, seven things of how the Bible changes us. The Bible's not an ordinary book. This book is just not an ordinary book. It's not some guy sat down and wrote it. We talked about 40-plus writers, 1,600 years. And they write with one single theme, runs through the whole thing. And it's not an ordinary book. There's something special about this book, something special about the book. God breathed these words. And when he breathed these words, there's something going on in the scriptures here. And it's exciting. And I hope you're getting excited to read it and to see these. You go to the bookstore and there's lots of self-help books. There's a lot of good stuff on the bookshelves. So you can go in, you can read these books, you know, how to deal with worry. Get rid of your worry. You know, get rid of your stress. You can go to the bookstore and you get all sorts of self-help books. What's interesting about those books, they tell you what you need to do, but they really don't tell you how to do it. Because that's the problem. Because the how boils down to God. It boils down to the power and the work of God in our lives. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. How many here have ever had an ache and a pain and you took ibuprofen? Anybody? Tylenol? Anybody taking, you know, you get an ache, you get a pain, you know? Or it's allergy season and you take one of those, what, chlorminetol or Sudafed or, you know, you start getting a little sick and you start taking some pills. How many of us now, you know, as I got older, I'm taking a multivitamin now. Anybody? Anybody? I'm taking these multivitamins now, you know, and now I'm taking this, man, you see how big those fish oil pills are? Those things are huge, you know. I was there the other day, and I was taking all my pills, and my granddaughter was watching me, and I put, you know, I had my blood pressure pill, I had my multivitamin, I had two of those big old fish oil pills. I threw them all in my mouth, took a drink of water, and she goes, "You swallow them all at once?" I go, "Yeah, you know." You know, and it's just taking all these pills. And we do that because we want to make sure we take care of our body. We want to make sure we feel, well, we hurt or we got a problem. Well, here's what I want to propose to you this morning. What I want to propose to you this morning, that in this book that we call the Bible, in this book that most of you have sitting on a shelf, maybe collecting dust, that most of you may have, maybe you have it on your phone because it's everywhere now. And we have this book, that in this book, there are things in this book that will keep you out of trouble. There are things in this book that will help you when you're in trouble. And we don't take it. We ignore it. And what I want to advocate and what I want to propose and what I want to encourage you this morning is that there's something special about this word. There's something special about this word. It's like taking a multivitamin. It's like taking a vitamin E. It's like taking one of those pills when you're hurting. And if we read this, it can change our lives. It can do things in us and for us because there's power in God's word. Look at this first scripture up here and look at what it says. Look at how it words this. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human efforts accomplish nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. That God's word has power. Last week we looked at that. We talked about how God breathed the scriptures into existence. And I never thought about this, but I want you to think about this. That as we read the scripture, God breathed these scriptures into existence. That when God created this world, what did God do? Did God reach out and do something? No. God didn't say, here, I got my hands, now I'm going to make a globe, take this pile of mud here. God spoke. God simply spoke, and things happened. God said, let there be light. Bang, there was light. God says, let's separate the waters on this earth from the dry land. Bang, and it happened. I agree with the Big Bang Theory, all right? God said it, and bang, it happened, okay? I agree with that. You know, I have no problem. Bang, God said it, and bang, it was there. God spoke, and things happened. That's what this Word of God is. Do you see the Word of God as God speaking? That when I read this, God is speaking, and bang, things can happen in my life. That God can sit there and speak and say, I can meet all your needs according to my riches and glory, and bang, all my needs are taken care of. I can walk through some difficult situations, physical, emotional, and be battling these issues and cry out to God, and bang, he meets all my needs according to his glories in heaven. I could be in the battles of my life and struggling with family issues and work trouble and neighborhood issues and battles. And I can go to God and bang, God says, and you should have the strength that you need to get through. Do we see God speaking? Jesus did miracles, and what did he do? What did Jesus do? Jesus didn't pick mud up and pack it on a guy. He told the guy to go do that. But Jesus simply spoke, and the lame walked. Jesus spoke, and the blind seen. Jesus spoke, and life came back. Come from that tomb of Lazarus. What I want to advocate to you this morning is, the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. That these words bring life. These words can make things happen in your life. These words can change your life. Look at this next scripture with me. Look at what it says. And the Word of God is living and active. Why don't you underline those two words? Living and active. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Why don't you circle the word sword? We're going to come back to that. Piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit and joints and marrow and discerning the thoughts, intentions of the heart. It's a living word. It's not dead. It's alive. It's real. It's God breathed. Just as God breathed into your nostrils. See, I believe this. I believe when a child is born, when a child is conceived, God breathes into that child the breath of life. I think just as he did in creation of the creation story. Just as he did when he formed man from the dust of the earth, the scripture says God breathed into man and he became a living soul. I believe in the womb of a woman, when God creates life, that God breathes into that life a living soul. It is God's breath. This is God's breath. This is the living Word of God. It is alive. It is real. It moves. Have you ever read the Word? Have you ever opened this up and you read something and you really didn't get it, but you come back and you read it a day later, you read it a week later, maybe a year later, and you read it, and all of a sudden, that's what it says. That's the living Word of God. It does something. It moves. It's active. And that's what God's Word does, and it's exciting. But I want to think about that word sword for a minute. I was going to bring an axe this morning. I have a nice little axe at home, and I was going to bring my axe. Because, you know, a lot of people take the Bible like a big old axe and start chopping away. You know, we chop at other people. We chop at things in our life. But I want to advocate to you this, that God's Word is like a scalpel. It's not a chainsaw. It's not a skill saw. It's not an axe. God takes that scalpel in his hand, this word that he's spoken, this living word, and he cuts away at our life the things that we need to get rid of in our lives. Is that true? That God scalpel carefully, lovingly, passionately takes his word and forms a way in our life and shapes us and molds us, not with an axe, not with a chainsaw, not with some skill saw. But carefully he takes that scalpel and he works on us. And he brings things out of our life, the things we don't even know of and things we can't even imagine. And he does things in us. And that's what I want to look at. I want to look at seven things that God has taken and he's just kind of carved away in our lives. Maybe he's still doing it in yours. He's still doing it in mine. He's not done yet. I look at some things this week that through this study that it's like, man, I wish I could take an axe and cut it off, but I'm glad God is more gentle than I am sometimes because God works on us. So I want you to get your little outline out. Now, I just want to follow God. There's things in our life that God wants to work on. How does God want to change us? And what are those things that God wants to do in our life? He wants to transform us, and he's not done yet. So I want to look at these, and you got your little outline there. I'm just kind of following. There's seven of them, and I'm going to go quickly. We're not going to take all that time that Ron and Dan took last time. We're going to go quickly this morning. Look at this first one. It says, it recreates my life, that this Bible of God recreates my life, that the Word of God recreates in me. Has anybody had an experience today or maybe this week where you are at the end of your rope? Anybody? I've had it up to here or I've had it up to here. You're full of it. You're tired. You've had it. You're broken. Just leave me alone. Get away. I'm done. Anybody feel like that? You want a fresh start? You want a new beginning? You want a way just to let's do it all over again? That's what God does. He recreates. He gives us a new life. He gives us a second chance, a third chance. He moves these things. When life is falling apart, when we're at the end of our rope, God is there to move and to do things. But how does he do it? It's the Word of God. I want to tell you something. When you're at the end of your rope and you're wondering what's wrong, are you reading his Word? Have you picked it up and did like day seven? Day seven for me this morning. I did my devotional this morning. Day seven had a great verse. You know, and God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus in his glory. Philippians 4:19. And so I did that verse this morning. And as I was doing that verse, my needs right now are not strength. You need that. I'm feeling really good. You know, I'm exercising. I'm taking my vitamins. I'm doing really good. I needed some emotional strength this morning. My wife's gone. You know? And so it's like, yeah. Fortunately, she had all my clothes laid out and everything was nice. You can tell her thank you that I dressed well. She did it. Yeah. But, you know, as we think about this, God meets, he gives us a second chance. He gives us a third chance. He moves in our lives. Look at the scripture here. It's a wonderful scripture. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. He brought us forth by his word. It's God's word that moves us. You want a whole new life? You want a second chance? You want a new beginning? It begins with God. See, that's why those self-help books don't help. You know, I could go read those self-help books, how to get rid of stress, how to say no, how to deal with worry. I mean, you know, I'm going to tell you, that author, call author John So, he'll take all your worry, will he? But I can call God and say, God, I give you all my worry. See, he has the power. Those books don't, but God does. And we need to see that, and we need to experience that. But it comes from God's word. Let me tell you something. You would not know about heaven if it wasn't for this word. You would not know about Jesus. How many of you read Jesus in your history book? Anybody? You read about heaven in your history book? Social studies? Science? We don't read those things. You know, you don't read how to have a full and meaningful life in those books, do you? You don't, you know, we don't read those things. If it wasn't for this book, we wouldn't have that opportunity to know God, to have eternal life, to experience the blessings that God has for us. See, this word gives you that second chance, that third chance, that fourth chance. When you're at the end of your rope and you don't know where to turn, this word gives you that opportunity to turn over a new leaf, to begin again. Look at the next scripture here. Look what it says. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. See, it's God's word that gives us the path to salvation. It's God's word that has the power to transform our lives. It's God's word that gives us that second chance. See, if you are struggling in life, where you need to go is right here. When you're at the end of the rope, it's right here. When you're frustrated, it's right here. When you're down, it's right here. You need God's word. It recreates. It's that second chance. It's that salvation. Let me give you the term that I grew up with in the 70s. Maybe some of you have heard this word, born again. Anybody? Anybody heard that word, born again? You know, you're being born again. That's what God does through his scriptures. See, it's through the word of God. Since childhood, you've heard this, and it's the word of God. So if you want to have a pill you can take, when you're at your end of your rope, you want some medicine, You know, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to go pull it out of your medicine cabinet. You're going to pull it off your table, off your desk, and you're going to open the Word of God, and you'll find your second chance. You'll find a new beginning. The next point to me is probably the one I appreciate the most, okay? This is the one I really appreciate. If I had to pick all of these seven things, I put this one at the top for me. Because what it does, it eradicates my guilt. All right? It eradicates my guilt. There are things in my life I wish were not there. I've done things in my past that I'm ashamed of. I've said things that I'm embarrassed about. There are shame, there's memories, there's trash in my life. How do I get rid of it? How do we deal with your past? Just get over it, right? Has anybody ever told you, just get over it? Just get over it. Does that really work? Just get over it. You know, let it go. Does that really work? How do we deal with that trash in our life? I'm going to, you know, tomorrow night, I'm going to roll my garbage can out. Put my garbage can out in front of my house. Because Tuesday morning, there's a truck coming by. Noisy truck, too. You know, it's going to pick up the garbage in front of my house and take it away. Now, if I forget to roll my garbage out, what's going to happen? Nothing's going to take that garbage away. It's going to sit there beside my house. And let's say I forget it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Pretty soon, that can's going to overflow, and it's going to smell real nice around my house, right? You know? Some of us have that stink in our life. We can't figure out what to do. Because we're carrying this baggage around, this garbage around. And God sits here in His Word, and He wants to get rid of it. You know, that past, those struggles, those situations, those maybe those words, God wants to take away. Even those that said it to you that you got to let it go, that you didn't do it, they did it to you. That guilt, that remorse, God wants to get rid of it. This is a great passage. Look at it. Look at what it says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to circle that word all. Sometimes we feel like, well, God can never forgive me for. You ever felt that way? That, you know, there's just, you know, maybe it was too big. Maybe it was too recent. You know, and it's just, I want you to think, God forgives all. How's that old saying? What does all mean? All means all the time. Is that how that went? See, I want to tell you, God wants to eradicate that guilt. He wants to get rid of that guilt in your life. If you're walking around carrying garbage in your life, His Word can deliver you from that. His Word can carry the garbage out, just like that truck does in front of my house. His Word can set me free from the trash in my life. And God wants to do that. No regrets. No shame. He wants to take all that out in my life. I like this verse. You know, somebody was telling me he calls this the soap dish verse. You know, that God wants to cleanse us. Look at the next one. If there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Have you ever had anybody walk up to you and say, remember when you did, and start getting in your face because you did something? Anybody? Anybody have that happen? You know, just start yelling at you because you did something, you said something. Does God ever do that? If you've confessed it, does God ever come back and get in your face? And there's no condemnation. God has set us free. That's why I really, this is one of my passionate ones. You know, I wasn't a bad kid growing up. I didn't do bad things. I was an aggravator, all right, and I was good at it. You know, that was just kind of me. I'm still kind of rotten in some ways. But there's still things in my life that I'm glad God has taken it away. And what's bad, I hate to say this, and maybe you're in a different boat than I am, but even since I've been a Christian, sometimes I do stupid things. I'm trying to follow God. I'm trying to do God's will. I want to be where God wants me. And yet, for some reason, I still sin. I still fall. And sometimes these are the hardest ones, but you know what? God forgives. And God takes it away. And there's no condemnation. If I confess my sins, he's a just and righteous God and will forgive me. See, God not only recreates our life, he eradicates that guilt, those things that just carry you around. And if you're carrying that today, I want to tell you, take it to God. If there's something in you that just keeps popping up in your head, here's what I always say. Here's kind of a rule for me. Maybe you might want to apply it in your life. When I feel guilty about something, when something comes up to my mind, you know, recently, last, even, you need to know I had to repent for something that happened 20 years ago the other day. You know, because God brought it to my mind. But here's my rule. You know, if it comes to my mind and I feel guilty, and if I've confessed it, then it's Satan trying to cause me to feel guilt and remorse. But if I haven't confessed it, I take it to God right then. It's like, okay, God, I get it. Here it is. Because you know, one time, sometimes God wants me to say it because I got to admit it, because I don't know about you, but I'm practically perfect in every way. And so I don't like admitting it when I make a mistake. Anybody else? I'm never wrong. Ask Laura. She'll tell you. I can say that now. She ain't here. You know, we don't like admitting we make mistakes. We don't like it. And so when God gives me guilt, I have two sources. Either God saying, Gary, you need to go repent. I want you to tell it so you don't do it anymore. Face up to the fact. Or Satan's trying to do it so I don't do what God wants. That's the two options with guilt. But God wants to take it away. God wants to. There's no condemnation with God. It's gone. It's erased. It's not there. So I get a recreated life and I get eradicated guilt. That's what this book does for me. No pill can do that for you. No self-help book can do that for you. It's the power of God's word that forgives you. The third thing, as you're looking at your outline, is it activates my faith. It activates my faith. Most of us, and here's the problem. Let me give you the problem first. Most of us lack confidence. Most of us lack courage. Most of us never take a risk in our life. We're just cruising through life. And what I want to challenge you with this morning is God asks you to step out on faith. And how do you turn that faith on? How do you light up your faith? It's the Word of God that lights up your faith. It's the Scripture. You know, most of us run kind of a tape in our mind. We have this kind of a, some of you guys might remember 8-track players. Anybody? Yeah. Remember tape to tape, reel to reel? Anybody remember reel to reel? Some of the kids are going, I have no idea what he's talking about. You know, watch some of those old movies. You had those things that spun on the thing that went around through it. Most of us have a script running through our head. You may have heard things like this. You'll never amount to anything. Who do you think you are? You'll never look like your brother. Why don't you act more like your brother, your sister? You can't do that. And we run these scripts through our mind that, you know, that say, you can't. Oh, you're just always going to be a failure. What do you think you're going to do in life? Oh, you think you can really do that? Has anybody ever heard stuff like this and people put down like this? And many times we internalize that and we just kind of go through life. But I want to tell you something. God wants to turn your faith on. He wants to flip that switch on for you. He wants you to step out and to try and to do and to be inspired. That's what God wants to do and how God wants to inspire. Look at the scripture here. The word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many priests became obedient to the faith. As the word multiplied, the obedience grew. Do you see the picture? So I want to tell you, if you want to grow stronger in your faith, you want to do more for God, read His Scripture. Read the Bible. See what God has to say. See how He inspires that. See how God empowers that. See. I think most of us walk around with little confidence. Most of us don't even imagine to have the courage to step out. We live in this little comfortable box. And I want to challenge you to get out of your box. And it happens when you get into the Word. Because God wants to do great things through you. God has great things to accomplish in you. And it comes when you start internalizing His Word. See, God wants to just activate your faith. Have you ever wrote to yourself in your mind and said, I just can't do that? You know my Bible verse, right? Most of you know my motto for my life. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I believe that verse. I am sold out on that verse. Period. There is nothing I cannot do in the will of God. You name it, I can do it. I look back over my life and I think about all the things that I've accomplished, all the things that I've been down the path with. Could Gary have done that? My first sermon, work hard, dwell, prepare, work on it. Hated to get in front of people, despised to get in front of people. Never wanted to be in front of people. Got that 20-minute message all packaged up, get up there crying, bawling, 10 minutes, I'm done. Man, I was over. Now you guys, why can't we go back to that? You're never going to get 20 minutes again, all right? Just get used to it. Yeah. But I look back over that. A kid who barely graduates high school has a doctorate now. Yeah. Do you think I did that? This is one of my battles in my life because I get frustrated. Because, see, I believe everybody can do that. See, I believe everybody can do anything. I believe that. But the problem is everybody doesn't do this. See, I believe whatever God has asked for, you need to know I am pumped about this church. I am excited about that. You guys do not know how blessed this church really is. You guys are an awesome people. We're going to have our building one of these days. But you know what excites me? Our building's going up, and we keep giving. The guy called me on the phone on some more paperwork we're having to fill out. You can't believe what Ron and Dan have been doing. I mean, yeah, you know, all that stuff they're going through. The guy calls me on the phone, and we're talking to the guy, and he was talking about this church and how amazing this church is, your gifts, your offerings. We're doing a 40-day study, and we don't even have a building, and it's like we're not focusing on our building. We're focusing on the Word of God. Here's this guy doesn't even know our church. He's down in Berea, Southern California, talking about how good our church is. And I don't think we realize that. And I just see God's hand, and it's the faith that we're stepping out on. And it's God's Word. Have you ever read the Word of God and ever go, well, I could do that. Yeah. I have walked on water. You need to know that. I walked on Donner Lake, 30 feet from shore. Walked right out on Donner Lake. Bible says you can walk on, Peter walked on water, Jesus walked on water, why can't Gary? Until I got to the weak place in the ice and then I fell through. All right? Yeah. It was frozen, so I did walk on water. But there was a weak place. Yeah. If you got faith, you can do anything. Now, don't climb out of your boat in the middle of the ocean and say, I'm going to walk on the ocean. He ain't going to make it. Yeah. You end up like the Titanic. But God wants to activate your faith, eradicate your guilt, and recreate your life. That's what God wants to do. Anybody want those kind of things? Anybody want that kind of stuff in your life? It's not a pill you take out of your medicine cabinet. It's a book that you read every day in your life. Let's go on and see what else it says here. It says, it stimulates my growth. It stimulates my growth. God wants us to grow. The book here will help us grow. It will inspire you to grow. It empowers you to grow. You know, I am not the same person. Martha and Rose have been here, and Linda's not here today, but they're kind of the last ones that are here. Have I changed any since the 29 years I've been here? You know, they're sitting there rocking their heads up and down. You know, some of you have been with me for a few years. You're going, yeah, you're weirder than you were when you got here. Yeah. We're all growing. We're all maturing. We're all in the process. Look at what God's Word says. It's great. And now I command you to God. Let me kind of set this up for you as I look at this. Paul had been preaching and teaching in the city of Ephesus. He had prepared them. He had taught them. He had did all sorts of things. And now he's getting ready to leave. And this is kind of what he's saying. And I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He said, I'm giving you the word of God that will build you up, that you'll grow with, that you'll mature with. I'm giving you this word. See, you want to grow in Christ. You want your faith to grow. You want to grow in your spiritual maturity. You want to grow in the will of God. You need to read this scripture. You need to spend time in this scripture. Look at this next verse. And all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, God wants to equip us with his word. He wants you to grow in his word. He gets four words. Why don't you circle four of those words? There's like four words you might want to circle in there. Let's see what they are. Oh, I think you might want to circle the word teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. See, God wants to teach you the path of righteousness. God wants to teach you the path to be on for your life so that you can live a blessed life. He wants to rebuke you when you get off that path. He wants to rebuke you when you're off that path. He wants to correct you and tell you how to get back on the path. And then he wants to train you how to stay on the path. Do you get the picture? That's what God wants to do in our lives. All right? He wants to teach us that path. Here's the path. That's what this word does. When you fall off that path, he's going to tell you, and I don't like the word rebuke, but I don't like being rebuked. I don't know about you, but sometimes God's got to come and kind of slap me upside the head with a 2x4. I'm going to learn with the 2x4, not the 4x4. Teach me quick, God. He's going to rebuke me. Then he's going to correct me and show me how to get back on. And it's in the Word. And then he's going to train me in how to stay on. And it's in the Word. It's all right here. See, that's what God wants. I want to grow in my faith. You want to grow in your faith? You want to grow stronger as life throws things at you? You want to be able to endure this life as we go through? Then you need a growing faith. And God wants to stimulate that growth, and it comes through the Scripture. Have you ever read the Scripture and said, you know what, I got to do that now? Anybody? Anybody ever do that? You read something in the Bible, and all of a sudden it's like, man, I got to start doing that. We need to see that in our lives. See, God wants to stimulate us. He wants to stimulate our growth. He wants to eradicate our guilt. He wants to recreate our life. And he wants to activate our faith. That's what God wants to do. That's what the word will do for you. Let's go on. The next one says, he illuminates my mind. He illuminates my mind. He turns the light on. All right, let's put it that way. He just turns the light on. That's what God's word does. God's word will teach us the truth and what the truth really is. God's word will teach you what your next step is. He'll turn the light on for that. He'll teach you how to trust your feelings, or what do you do when you can't trust your feelings? What do you do in broken relationships? How do you deal with broken relationships? How do you deal with everyday situations? And God wants to teach us those things. And his word teaches that to us. And, well, let's look at some scripture. Let's see what it says. Here's what it says. Understanding your word brings light to the minds of the ordinary people. You ever have a situation in your life? You ever have a circumstance in your life? You ever have something going on? And all of a sudden you're reading God's word and it's like, oh, that's what I need to do. Anybody been in that boat? You know, you're going through and there's this happening, or this somebody said this, or you're doing this, or they did this, and you're reading God's word, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, why didn't I think of that? Anybody? Yeah. See, God turns that light on. You ever read the Bible and have to be at the right place at the right time in the Bible? You're reading the Bible, and maybe you read it like this morning. And then you come to church, and things aren't quite right like you thought they were going to be. And it's like, well, God set it up. I needed that one before it even happened. See, God turns the light on in our lives. Look at what it says here. Look at the next one. I have more understanding than all teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Circle that word, meditation. Anybody hear that word this week in your study? Anybody hear that word meditation in your study? Yeah. We're going to learn more about meditating. We're going to spend more time meditating in God's word. And that's what God wants us. I'm not talking about turning yourself into a pretzel. And I like the way he said, contemplating the lint in your navel. Isn't that what he said? Yeah. I thought that's what he said this week. You know, that's not what meditation is. I like it. It's chewing on it. Anybody tell that cow illustration? Wasn't that a great cow illustration? Made Laura sick. You know, chews it up, swallows it, spits it back up, and chews it up again. You need to know. I ask a dairyman this week, is that true? I ask Ivan Wyatt this week. I seen Ivan this week. Ivan, you know, he has a dairy out of the Wyatt Dairy. Ivan, is that true? He goes, yep, that's true. He goes, the reason the cows did that, now this was real interesting. I didn't know that. He says the reason cows do that is because they would go out and graze, and then they'd go and hide because they didn't want animals to attack them. It was a safety thing, Ivan said. Which I thought that was interesting. I didn't, you know, he had a little new understanding to what they would do. He said they'd have to go out there to eat and graze, but they have to hide from the animals that were going to attack them. So they'd eat and graze, then they'd go hide, and they could process the food while they were hiding. It's like, oh, that was interesting. But that's meditating, chewing on God's word, spending time with God's word, wrestling. That's what I like about the 40-day study. One verse, not a whole bunch of passages, one simple short verse. Meditate on one verse. That pronounce method. Anybody been doing those? I've done 7 so far. We're all scattered through here, but I want, wherever you're at, keep doing it. It is good stuff to chew on. I mean, it is amazing. It helped me this morning. The one for this morning, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in heaven, helped me this morning. Yeah. So God does that in our lives, and that's what his word does. Look at this next scripture. This is kind of that lighting situation. And your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, most of us, when you're seeking God's will, most of us want a floodlight, right? I want to see the end. God, I'm going to follow you. Show me where we're going at the end. But it's more like a flashlight. How far do you see most flashlights? And most of us, you got to take one step at a time to get the light to go a little further, right? That's how God works. His word slowly lights the path. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know, if God had told Gary when Gary first became a Christian, because I've told you, it took me 3 months to walk an aisle to get baptized, all right? I accepted Jesus Christ, but I never went forward to get baptized for 3 months. I didn't want to be in front of people. And if God would have told me in that 3-month time that, Gary, you're going to be a preacher, I probably would have never went back to church, much less get baptized. Yeah. But as I followed God, he lit the path until it was so obvious, like, hey, this is what you're going to do. Oh, okay. I'm dumb enough to do it, God. Yeah. That's what God does. It's a flashlight in our lives. And we need to store it with us. Look at this next one. Look at this next verse. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. That's what God wants to do. Guess what? I got a surprise for you. This is your memory verse. All right? This is your memory verse. I got my keychain here somewhere. Yep, I got mine. We're working better to do this. We're going to put an all on for you next time. But I got my 6 memory verses. So you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to work on our memory verse. All right, we're going to work on our memory verse right now. So are you ready? Now remember what we do. You say the reference, you say the verse, you say the reference. All right, so we're going to work on it. Last week's memory verse, I'll say last week's real quick if I can remember it. Anybody? Colossians 3:16, let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly. Colossians, all right, let's do this one. You ready? Psalms 119:18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Psalms 119:18. That's your memory verse, all right? And again, I want to assure you, I want to tell you, you know, at the end of this, I hope you remember all 6, and you could say all 6. But here's what I guarantee you. This is a guarantee. That you might forget some of these by the time we get done with this, you might not be able to remember these. But if you've worked on them for a week, that one day, in one situation, in one circumstances, when you need that verse, all of a sudden it's going to pop into your mind. I guarantee you that. Because that's how God works. Once you store it in there, you know, I always like, you know, I enjoy computers. And if I like watching these FBI stories, and you know, you delete things off your computer, it ain't gone, folks, okay? You need to know, even though I'm not a really technical guy, but I can get into most of your computers and tell you tons of stuff that you've deleted, because I know how to go find it. It's still there. You might have erased it. You might have thought you got rid of it. You might not. You might think it's gone. It's not, all right? And if you put this word in your mind, you might forget it. Well, let me put it this way. You might think you have forgotten it, but it is there. Let's do this one again, all right? Let's do this again. You ready? Let's do this. Psalms 119:18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Psalms 119:18. All right. Next week, number two. All right. Let's go on. It elevates my mood. All right. God's word. Anybody get discouraged? Anybody get frustrated? Anybody get down? God's word will encourage you. God's word will inspire you. God's word will pick you up. It elevates your mood. Look at the scripture here. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. What does God want to do? He wants to encourage you. He wants to inspire you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to move you along. Let me put it this way. You ever come home? You're tired, you're frustrated, you're down, you just want to sit down, turn the TV on, and crash and watch Dr. Phil. I want to tell you to do this. When you go home and you're tired and you're done and you're frustrated, go home, pick up your Bible, and read Dr. Luke. All right? Does that make sense? When you're discouraged and you're encouraged, Dr. Phil is not going to pick you up. All right? Jerry Springer might make you laugh. Are the idiot people on the show? I shouldn't say that. I wouldn't bring my dirty laundry before everybody. But listen, go to God's word when you're down. I'm going to tell you something. When you're down, the problem is, have you read his word? That really spoke to me this week as I was working on the message this week. It's like, because I don't know about you, but I get down sometimes. You know, it's just like, oh, man. But God's word can pick me up. God's word can lift me up. God's words can elevate my mood. Let's go on. I got another scripture here. We'll get back to it. You're my place of quiet retreat. I wait for your word to renew me. You need a retreat? Go to God's word. Spend some time in his scriptures. Let's go. It liberates my potential. This kind of goes back to the faith. Most of us have limited potential. At least we think we do. We limit ourselves. We put ourselves in a box. You only do the little things. We never try to do anything that's outside the box. I'm comfortable. It's convenient. It's easy. But God wants to know that we got potential. I want to tell you something. Did you know you can do the impossible? You know, you think this thing that you feel God wants you to do, that you feel like you need to do, but you just can't. God wants you to do it. And you have the potential. I think there's potential in every one of us that's untapped. That we can do some things that we've just ignored. That we just keep putting off. Look what the scripture says. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in me and my words truly abide in my... Let me start over with that one, please. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What I want to challenge you to do is set free the truth of God about your potential. That's what I want to challenge you with. That's what God's word will do. When you read his word, it will encourage you. It will inspire you. You'll take some chances. You'll take some risk. I always think about Peter getting out of that boat and walking on water. He got out of the boat. He might not have walked far, but you know what? He got out of the boat. He got out. Will you get out of your little comfort zone? You know one thing I keep hearing? Now, face the fact, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, but I'm going to say it. I can't memorize anything. Get over it. You memorize phone numbers. You memorize, if you've moved, you memorize your new address. We memorize tons of stuff. You can memorize the God's Word. There is potential in you, I guarantee you, to memorize God's Word. It's there. If you spend the time doing it, you can do it. Now, if you're like me, it might take an extra long time to do it. And I have to go over and over and over. But I can do it. It's there. You got to see that potential. Look at the next scripture. Well, that was it. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. How do you get this? Here's these seven things, right? Look at the seven things. Look at this list with me real quick. It recreates my life. It eradicates my guilt. It activates my faith. It stimulates my growth. It illuminates my mind. It elevates my mood. It liberates my potential. It's there. How do I get it? I can't go to the medicine cabinet and take a pill, right? Oh, I go in there and there's a bottle that says Bible on it. All right. Oh, there we go. I got it for the day. My daily requirement, right? How do you do it? You got to learn from it. I've got to learn it. You got to learn the Word. You got to memorize. You got to spend time with the Word. Look at the Scripture. I'm going to go through these real quick. Jesus said to them, "Is this not the reason you're wrong? Because you neither know the Scriptures nor the power of God." The reason we make so many mistakes is we don't know God's Word. Is that true? The reason I get in trouble so easy is because I don't know God's Word, or I ignore it. I blow it off. I don't take it serious. We need to know God's Word. We need to know what God has to say. So we got to learn it. Look at the next one. There is a way that seems right to man, but that its end is the way to death. Have you ever done anything that you say, this is the right decision, this is a decision to make, and you do it, then the next day you're going, man, that was wrong. Oh, what was I thinking? Did you pray about it? Did you read the Scripture? See, God's Word's the same yesterday, today, forever. It's there. We need to learn it. What's next? Let's see what it says next. I got to accept it. You know what's interesting with God? God didn't ask me if I liked it. He didn't ask me if I agree with it. God didn't say, okay, Gary, here's my commands. Here's the best way of life. What do you think, Gary? He didn't ask me my opinion. He didn't consult me. You know why? Because I'm not God. Who do I think I am if I think I know more than this? Who do you think you are? Are you God? Do you know more than God? We need to accept. It doesn't matter if you agree with it or not. It doesn't matter if I agree with it. It doesn't matter what I think about it. God said it. That settles it. It doesn't matter whether, you know, the old saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Forget the I believe it part. It doesn't matter what you believe. God said it. Close the book. That's it. It's over. It's done. We need to see that in God. We need to accept God's Word. Doesn't matter. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It doesn't matter. God said it. That's it. We got to accept the truth of God, period. That's all. You know? Doesn't matter. Well, it's not politically correct. Well, you know what? I don't care what's politically correct. I care what God says. You know? It's not what my friends think. That's not what I've seen on TV. That's not what I read in a book. All that doesn't matter. What has God's Word said? I accept the Word of God. Look what the Scripture says. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers. God's Word is at work in us when you accept it. You might not understand it. You might not get it. You need to know there's still parts of the Bible I don't understand. And I've studied a lot, and I still don't get it. But, you know, I don't care if I ever understand it. God said it, I believe it. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. God created this world. Bang, it happened. Okay, I'll take the Big Bang Theory. God spoke, and bang, it was there. Yeah. I don't understand all of it. Yeah. I don't understand. You know what? Jesus is coming back someday. I don't know when, but I know he's coming back. I accept it. I don't get it. I don't get all these pictures. I don't get all this thing in Revelation. I don't understand all that. I've read it. I've sat through a whole class on it. I spent a whole semester studying it. Still don't understand all of it. I got a picture in my mind of what I think, but God didn't consult me on that. I just know one day the trumpet's going to sound and boom, there's Jesus. It's going to happen. I believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Yeah. I've got to accept it. I got to learn it, and I got to accept it. And the last thing is, I got to act on it. I got to do it. If you know these things, let's look at the scripture. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I want to make sure this, as I wrap this up, God didn't say, if you know these things and put them in a notebook, you'll be good. God didn't say, you know, if you know these things and you think about them all the time, you're good. God says, if you know them and do them. Why don't you circle do them? Do them. Do them. Put into practice what it says. Practice what the scripture says. You want the seven things in your life. You want a new life. You want a second chance. You want a new beginning. Practice the word of God. You want to inspire and light up your faith. Practice the word of God. You want to elevate your mood. Practice the word of God. You want those seven things. They're there for you. It's not in a medicine cabinet. It's in the book that sits on your dining room table, I pray, right now. Or maybe next to your chair. Or your nightstand. Maybe it sits on top of your 40-day study workbook. Read it and do it, and you will be blessed by God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and their truths. I thank you for your scriptures, that your word is alive and real. Lord, I pray for myself, and I pray for these that are here this morning. Lord, there are some here this morning that need their mood elevated. I pray your word will elevate their mood. Lord, there are some that need to be recreated in life. They're at the end of the rope. They're frustrated. Lord, I ask you to inspire them with a second chance. Lord, there's some that need a light on the path that they're going. Maybe a decision to be made. Light their path. Lord, there's some of us that battle guilt, that have a past that just rises up and attacks us. Eradicate that guilt, Lord. Lord, help us be your people. Let your word come alive. Let it be an active, living word in us, that we may be a people of God, a people that seek your will and your way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.